Miraji, as Prem Rawat is widely known, speaks to people around the world about the possibility of finding inner peace and contentment. He started addressing audiences when he was only 3 years old. At the age of 13, he was invited to address audiences in London and Los Angeles. Since then, he has presented his message to over 6.5 million people in more than 50 countries. Speaking at the United Nations Conference Center in Bangkok, Thailand, he recently said, "The peace that we are looking for is already in the heart. It needs to be felt, and I can help you get in touch with it." Miraji's message is more than words. People who listen to him express finding profound inspiration, a fresh perspective on life, and peace within themselves.
For so many people in this world, what we try to pursue is we try to make situations, whatever the situation happens to be, on the outside, easy. And we think that if the situations are easy on the outside, then maybe I can feel at ease with myself. But that never happens. Because there will always be that one situation that's not easy. And the desire to want to feel at ease with yourself will always be very, very important. Because you have to feel at ease with yourself. Now, when people come and approach the subject of fulfillment, they come to see me. And I can tell you, just from the experience, that some people, they're at ease with themselves. And when they hear that peace is within them, that they can be fulfilled in this life, it's a beautiful time. It's a beautiful acceptance. It's like, yeah, I can have that. And there are certain people who are not at ease with themselves. And to them, it's just an uphill battle. It's a battle. Because there's no trust, there's no understanding, there's no clarity. If I have a house, obviously there's a front door, and obviously there's a lock on that front door, and there is a key. And I buy the house, and as one of the very last things that happens is that the realtor or the previous owner hands me the key. Here's the key to your new house. But I bought the house, so what should I do with the key? Should I throw it away? I don't need it. I've bought the house. Just because I bought the house doesn't negate the necessity of the key. I still need the key if I want to open that door. It doesn't matter. I can replace the lock. I can get a new key. But I still need the key. And you know, this is the perennial problem. People keep losing the key. So they get smart. They put one under the mat or, you know, hide it in the bushes because they know that this is my house, I need to get into this house, and I can't be inconvenienced that I have lost the key, because I don't want to lose the key. So let me put it in a place that even if I lose the key, the focus is such that I will always be able to find it. This is interesting, because you don't take away the lock. You take away the lock, you've taken care of your problem. Remove the front door. You don't need to ever worry about a key. And you know, somebody got smart a while back and they came up with a combination. Of course, the problem with the combination locks is you've got to remember the combination. At one point I realized I had all these attaches with combination locks. And I'd be looking for something, and it was like I'd rattle the attaché, and sure enough, something was in there. I wonder what the combination is. And some of them were so old, I didn't remember them anymore. But without the combination lock, you can't get in. So you sit there, and is it that? And how inconvenient. So the key is what we are talking about, the key. And that key is important. Because with that key, I can open the door. I can gain access to what I am looking for. But will any key do? If you lose the key to your car, do you just go to somebody and say, "Can I borrow your keys?" It's not like that. It's not like that. And of all the keys that I will have in my life, and all the keys that will be given, and all the keys I will own, and all the flashy keys I'll carry around, there'll be one key that is the key to me. Me. And if I lose access to myself, and I have access to everything else, and I've lost access to me, then what good is it? Once again, I find myself as a victim, not as a person living on this planet Earth who is centered, who understands the value of this breath, who understands the value of this existence, but I will find myself as a victim to circumstances. And then how important is it for me to make sure that my circumstances are always correct? And I will go through any extent to make sure that those circumstances are stabilized. Long time ago, some very wise people said, it is not possible to stabilize the circumstances. That if they seem to you that they can be stabilized, it is an illusion. Because their very nature will not allow them to be stabilized. I'll give you an example. One time I was in Nepal and somebody gave me a book and I was reading it. It was about Kathmandu. And there was a chapter in that book about how seldom it actually snows in proper Kathmandu. And the author who had written the book was very young when he was living in Kathmandu. And one time it did snow in Kathmandu. And so he went out with his Nepalese friend, another child, another kid, and they made a little snowball. And he took the snowball and he handed it to his friend and he said, "Hold on to this, I'll be right back." And he left and he got involved with something else, and half an hour later he came back. He looked at his friend and he said, "Where's my snowball?" He said, "Well, it melted." He said, "What do you mean it melted? What is melting?" He had never seen that process. And he started blaming the other kid, "You hid my ball." And when I read that example, it really hit me. It's like, wow. He really did not know the nature of snow. Because had he known the nature of that snow, he would not have questioned. If we understand our nature, if we understand the nature of the world that we live in, the nature. What is my nature? What is your nature? Your nature is to want peace, to be content, to be fulfilled. This is your nature. You can't help it. You can't help it. You can't help it. This is how you are. This is who you are. This is your nature. And all those things that you use as props, because that's what they are. So many of them are just props. The nature of the props is not to be real. Your nature is want to be real. The nature of the props is not to be real. Long time ago, I was traveling through Heathrow Airport and I came across a book, and it was called The Millionaire's Book. And what it had is like Concorde tickets in it. And it had all these expensive items, but they were just made out of paper. And what you were supposed to do is just tear them off and leave them lying around, you know, your desk, so somebody came and they would see the tickets to the Concorde and they'd see this and that, and of course the illusion that they would produce would be like, "You're really rich." Illusion. The nature of illusion is to appear to be real, but it is not. Appear to be real, but it is not. And the nature that you have is not the appearance. You don't care about the appearance. Truly, from your heart, you don't care about the appearance. What you care about is to feel reality. If somebody says to you, if you go to a restaurant and somebody says to you, "What would you like to order today?" And you give a whole order, and then the instead of bringing you food, the waiter brings you a check. You've already had a wonderful dinner. It was great. You enjoyed it, thoroughly enjoyed it. Wasn't it wonderful? You would look at that guy and say, no, you didn't give me the dinner. Wouldn't you? Or would you just pay the check and go, God, that was light food. I loved it. Your nature is to see. Your nature is to experience. That is your nature. That is your nature. If somebody says, look at that bird, your nature is to look up and want to see that bird. If somebody says, look at those beautiful clouds, then your nature is to look up and want to perceive those beautiful clouds. That's your nature. If somebody gets in the pool and goes, God, this pool is cold, what are you going to do? Even if you're fully dressed, you'll stick your finger in there. Why? Why? If somebody is cooking something and goes, this looks really good, what would your nature be to go there and go, smells good? You can't shove food in your nose. But you know the association. It smells good, it must taste good. That's not necessarily true. That is not necessarily true. But that's our association. And then, of course, if it really, really, it does smell good, then we want to taste it. Because that is the reality of it. That's our nature. And it is in that spirit that we need to come. And it is in that spirit that we need to inquire further. Because even if I say that it is the simplest thing, I have just made it complicated. Because it is so simple that only if you could feel it could you truly appreciate how simple it is. By just the words alone. And words have their limitation. And somebody who uses the words a lot, saying words have their limitation, it's something else, but they have their limitation. Because there is that point when the words have to stop and the feeling has to roll in. It has to be felt. And from that spirit, that's where we need to come. I don't know what people have told you about me, you know. Some people come, they think I know everything. Let's not even go there. That's not what it's about. I'm not here to impress you. I never try to impress anyone. I am here to help you. There's a big difference. This is not about saying, well, look at me. Look at me. No, let me help you. People say, well, you know, how do I know this is true? Simple test. If you like it, fine. If you don't like it, walk. And even by saying that, I've made it very complicated. But that's how simple it is. That's how simple it is. Never should your perspective in life ultimately change, that you need that peace. That should never. That is your objective. That is the objective. You know, it's like warm summer days are here, at least in South Florida. New York is wondering where their summer days are. But at least down here, it's nice and hot. So what happens? You have an air conditioning, hopefully. You set the temperature. This is interesting, isn't it? You set the temperature, and the air conditioning works, till it gets to that temperature, and then it stops. But it's not done yet, is it? Because it's so hot outside that as soon as it stops, the trend reverses, and the temperature starts to build back up. And when it does, it hits that top level, and it kicks the compressor back on. It kicks the air conditioning back on. And it cools. So far it remains warm out there. This is going to keep happening. This is needed. You cannot just come up in the morning and say, God, it's 90 degrees outside. I'm going to turn the air conditioning on, turn it on for 1 hour, and then, it's done. That would only happen if the outside temperature actually plummeted to where it was comfortable. There are certain things that can only be expressed in love and gratitude. What am I talking about? Don't pretend to be naive. From your mother, from your father, when you were young, what did you need? A check for $10? Or a hug when you were young? When you came, when you were, say, 8 years old or 7 years old, and you came with an owie in your finger and you crying, and the mother said, well, I'll just write you a check for $5. That would never do. That would never do, because this amazing sympathetic kiss that had the incredible effect of aspirin and the best anesthetic in the world. Now you know, kissing that, what they call it, kissing the owie, kissing the hurt, there is no way a kiss can ever cure that. But it sure worked. Because some things can only be expressed in love and gratitude. People might ask, well, what's next if I like what's happening? What's next? Basically, what's next is to continue to listen. There is a huge video library to listen and to listen some more. This is not going to be a process of where everything is going to be handed to you. It's going to require some effort from your side. If you don't make the effort from your side, then what is the point? And at least the first effort that has to be is the recognition of thirst, because that's where this chapter begins. If there is no recognition of thirst, then everything that I have said to you is basically nonsense. Maybe a few things were good, maybe you had a good laugh, but that's about the extent of it. But if there is a thirst, then everything makes sense, and will make sense, and even the things that don't make sense will make sense later on. That is the nature of it. So at least one thing you can do is discover your thirst. That's the least you can do. Sit down, ask yourself, well, is there something within me? Is there a possibility within me that I would like to discover? And if the answer comes out, that'd be cool, then do it. If the answer comes back, nah, then I don't know. I don't know what. I never considered that step. If it comes out, nah. Well, then watch a good TV. Make some popcorn. And maybe in the process of cooking the popcorn, you'll go, maybe I am thirsty. But until that is there, that is very much the first step. I thank you for coming today. Thank you very much. And have a good night.